Hey, Nikki, can you turn the volume up on mic 6 to match 1? Thank you.
Good morning. Kingdom Kids, I guess, are excused to go upstairs. Are we having Kingdom Kids? Is anybody? No, not today? Okay, sorry. My mistake. I'm just so used to hearing Kevin say it, I figured I needed to say it. Anyway, this morning we're going to be talking about consideration. Being considerate, even being inconsiderate. How many times a day has somebody ever been inconsiderate to you? Or not just one person. How many times a day have you experienced inconsiderateness? Is that a word? Inconsiderateness? Inconsideration? Have you ever been inconsiderate to somebody else? I see some people nodding no out there. Maybe we should talk when we're done today. Not long ago, my wife and I and some of her family, Debbie, went to Kentucky to visit the Ark, Noah's Ark. How many other people have been there, seen that? That is so cool. Let me take just a minute to plug an advertisement for them. If you get a chance to go, please do go. I mean, they have a creation museum also nearby that talks about creation and kind of comparing that with science, evolution. And it's pretty neat to see, you know. I mean, maybe your faith is strong and, you know, you don't need to see it, but it's still interesting to see. And at the least, it can help give you more information to share with others who are struggling and question creation. Anyway, so getting back to that, we were on our way, and of course, driving, you experience inconsiderate people, don't you? I mean, there's always, you're merging onto the highway, and there's two cars in the right-hand lane, and they're right there where you want to be, and rather than move over, they stay in that lane. So you have to either speed up or slow down and get in behind them. Yeah, that's kind of inconsiderate. How does that make you feel? You just kind of want to get back at them, don't you? I've got to admit, when it comes to most things, I'm a fairly patient person, but when it comes to driving and inconsiderate drivers, Debbie will tell you, I struggle with that. I really do. And, you know, as a result of this study that I prepared for today, maybe, hopefully, I've found some things to help improve that. We'll see. But not just driving. I mean, you know, inconsiderate things happen in our lives regularly, every day. The guy at work who, once you finish a big part of your project and he's finished the small part of his and the boss comes in and he's all puffed up and, yeah, we finished that project today. And the boss is like, good for you. Yeah, I got my part done. And no mention about you or what you did. You know, kind of inconsiderate. Let's look at a couple examples here of being inconsiderate. I've asked some people to do some skits for us today. So if we could have our first, Danielle and Debbie, a couple teachers, and let's listen to what's happened in their day-to-day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I was texting with one of my coworkers.
I am so not here. I apologize. I wasn't paying attention.
What's wrong? You look really worried. Are you okay?
Well, you're a teacher. Can I ask for some advice?
Sure, I'll try.
Okay. So, I have this student.
Yeah.
Anyway, last Thursday, he has just been acting like a little wild thing. He got up, ran out of my room. I had to chase him down. It was a whole scene. It was terrible. And then yesterday, he called me a very inappropriate name in front of the whole class.
Just a sec. Okay, continue.
I just had a student acting a fool.
Oh, did you talk to his parents?
You know, that's the thing. I sent emails, I have called, and I have yet to hear from them.
Hang on one second. This is really important.
Uh-huh.
Did you talk to his parents?
Yes.
Oh, wait, I asked you that. What did you say?
They haven't responded.
Oh, how about the principal? Did you talk to him?
Oh, yeah. You know what he said?
Oh, hang on. Okay. This is really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I talked to the principal.
Uh-huh.
And, well, he said that you need to go talk to the parents. Do you see my conundrum here?
I do. Can you hang on one more time? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay. You know what? You're super busy. I see that. I'm just going to go talk to somebody else. If that's okay.
Okay. Well, if you need any more advice, you can just text me.
I will do that.
Okay.
So who was being inconsiderate there? I'm going to warn you up front, the first little bit of our lesson today, I'm going to solicit audience participation. So I'm going to ask some questions, and I expect some answers from you guys, okay? So obviously Debbie was the one being inconsiderate. I mean, how was she being inconsiderate?
By talking on the phone.
Talking on texting. She wasn't paying attention to Danielle, was she? In fact, she had to ask her the questions over again. What could Danielle have done about this? We saw what she did do. Was that a good reply? Yes. There may have even been a better action to take. What if she had just simply confronted Debbie, nicely, politely, of course, and told her, said, look, I really need somebody to help me out here. Do you think you could just put your phone away for a couple minutes and give me some attention and help me out? Do you think that would have offended Debbie? Maybe. Did she need to be? Probably. Was Danielle offended? There's all kinds of different actions that could have gone on here. In fact, Danielle may be harboring some bitterness in her heart over all this. It may lead to other things. It may cause Danielle to want to get back at Debbie later. It may cause Danielle to say, you know, if she don't care, why should I? Maybe I'll just let that kid go. The heck with it. Some really bad repercussions. We've got one more skit. Let's watch that right quick.
Hey, man, I'm here.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. So, what are we doing?
All right. So, I got these plans. Mm-hmm. Got these plans. Took forever to find some I thought would work with this site, but check this out.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. See, look, I think these are going to be perfect.
Okay. Oh, so we're building a deck, huh? Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So what are we doing first?
I thought, as far as locating this, the perfect spot would be right there.
Okay.
Because I think that will help with the traffic flow as it comes in.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, so if we site it right there,
mm-hmm.
So I've got all these 4x4s over here, so I'm
okay.
I probably didn't.
Let me ask you this though. Like, how far apart are you planning to put the holes? Like how deep are they? How wide? You know, what's the spacing? Like, have you actually thought about all this stuff yet?
Yeah, that's actually right here, if you'll notice, in the plans. Now, good question, though, because do we have enough quick read? That could be an issue.
Yeah, is this going to be set up enough tomorrow for us to do all this?
Yeah, now it should be if we get started fairly soon. If not, then maybe we're going to have to wait. This could be a pretty significant delay. Now, here's the thing. I got the pressure treated stuff, so uh-huh, it's a little more uh-huh, expensive, uh-huh. But I'm hoping it will last long enough.
Yeah, yeah. Here's my thing. Okay, so this is an 18x24 deck. I mean, that's nice. That's big. It's got room for all your friends
it is.
Okay, and it's even going to connect to your house, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's all here. 4x4s? I'm just saying. You might want to use 6x6s. Because you know they're bigger, they're stronger. You actually don't need as many of them. And later, if you want to take a roof and connect this down, you know, and just kind of cover your patio, it'd be perfect. You'd already be set up. You could bring it up a little higher, and you'd have something to put rails on. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I'm not looking to run a hostel out of my backyard. The goal is kind of just to have. And my family is fairly small,
mm-hmm,
so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking this will. I hear what you're saying, mm-hmm. but I think this will suffice.
Right. I'm just saying. You know, it could work. You know, in case you want to do it later. I mean, as we say at the Home Depot, best be prepared. You know.
Well, I tell you what, I would guess that 6x6s would make an incredibly sturdy mm-hmm. structure, mm-hmm. And I bet you have folks who come into Home Depot who really need things to last forever.
Yeah,
I don't think
yeah.
I'm going to be in this house more than 3 years. Well, I just need something that's going to hold up.
Okay, that's fine. Unless it's a budgetary concern, of course.
Yeah.
No, serious.
Thank you, guys. do you think we should take up a collection and send these guys to Hollywood or Broadway? Huh? All right. So, Brian has spent a lot of time planning this out, drawing it, obviously, you know. What did Dylan do that upset Brian? Wasn't trying to change it. Yeah. Dylan thought he had better ideas, right? I mean, he came in at the last minute and had better ideas than what Brian had come up with, and Brian had spent all this time. How did Brian feel? Yeah, it would have hurt him. Were you hurt, Brian, when he said that? I can imagine. I can imagine. So how could Brian have responded to this? We saw Brian got a little flustered there at the end, especially when Dylan mentioned finances, too. Goodness, are you doing this because you can't afford it? How did that make Dylan feel? I mean, Brian feel? A little embarrassed, maybe, right? So how could Brian have reacted? A good, positive thing would be to try to put their ideas together, sure. Brian could have said, you know what, Dylan, heck with it. I don't need you. Just leave. That would have really hurt Dylan. Brian could have, like we said about Debbie and Danielle earlier, could have just simply harbored these things in his heart, which would lead to problems later, obviously. He could have also, like we said about Debbie and Danielle, simply said, you know, Dylan, I've put a lot of time into this. I appreciate your suggestions, but I really want to stick with the plans because I've got it all figured out, and the change now would bring more problems. Would that have been a good answer? That would have stopped it, would have, as Barney Fife used to say, would have nipped it in the bud, and they could have gotten on with the project. Okay, before we go too much further, I need to make full disclosure. Some of the points I'm going to make today and a few of the details surrounding them I've adapted from a sermon preached by a preacher in Georgia a couple years ago by the name of Terry Hyman. So I want to get that out there. What causes relationships to go bad, Terry says, is not the differences between us, but our attitude in dealing with those differences. How Debbie and Danielle, how Dylan and Brian could have dealt with these problems. That makes all the difference. Obviously, there were differences between them, but that doesn't create the problem. What happened after that is what determines how good the relationship's going to go or how bad it's going to go. How many people have heard of comedian Jerry Clower? You've heard of him? Okay. The funny guy. Jerry died about 20 years ago. He was from Yazoo City, Mississippi, and yes, that city actually exists. He talked about it quite often. He often told stories about the Ledbetter family, and he claims that the Ledbetter family was a real family made up of Ardell, Burnell, Rynell, W.L., Linnell, Odell, Marcel, Eugene, Claude, and Clovis. Those were the children. Of course, Dad was Uncle Versy and Mom was Aunt Pat. I guess that was Jerry's uncle and aunt. So anyway, Jerry told this cute little story about the Ledbetter family and the last piece of chicken. Can we, if you got that ready to go, can we do that? Here you go.
An adult old as I am, what growed up in the country, we were taught some had manners, I'll tell you that. Never ever would you be caught taking the last piece of chicken off of the plate or the last biscuit. Now you sat there and wanted some kind of bad, but you know better than to take it off of the plate. I finished supper one evening and went over to the Ledbetter house, and they was eating supper, and they was all sitting around the table there, Marcel and Claude and Newton and Aunt Pet Ledbetter, Mrs. Ledbetter, as everybody affectionately called her, and they called Mr. Ledbetter Uncle Mercy. Well, they was all sitting around the table, and there's one piece of chicken left right in the middle of the platter, and all of them was sitting there looking at it. A wind come up and blowed the lamp out. And you could hear Uncle Versus scream just like lightning had struck him. And Aunt Pet jumped up and finally got the lamp lit, and there was five forks sticking in the back of Uncle Versus' hand.
Okay. So while the light's on, everybody is polite, considerate, doing what they've been brought up to do. Being nice about it. But as soon as the lights go out, what happens? Everybody's going for that piece of chicken, aren't they? Were they being considerate of each other there in the dark? Of course not. You know, one piece of chicken left, somebody's going to eat it or else it's just going to get thrown out. But, you know, I remember being brought up that way. You just don't reach for the last thing if there's not much left over. And these kids were too, but golly gee, when the lights went out, nobody could see who was guilty. All bets are off. We were all taught at a young age to be polite, to be considerate, to be respectful. We respected our elders. Have you ever pulled into a parking lot and just as somebody is backing out, you sit there and wait for them, but they back out in such a way as it kind of blocks you from getting the spot, somebody comes in from the other direction and just whips it in there real fast. You get upset about that, don't you? You probably drive on by muttering. Until you see the person getting out is an old man with his Navy cap on and a cane, and he's slowly walking into the building. Then you kind of feel a little guilty for having thought bad thoughts, don't you? We rush to judgment. We rush to judgment without thinking, without considering things. Webster's defines consideration as being careful not to cause inconvenience or hurt to others. The second definition is showing careful thought. It's that one that I want to concentrate on today, showing careful thought. There are 5 points I want to make about being considerate. Before we do that, though, I think... Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. We're going to be taking our 5 points from these verses today. The first point I want to make, and you can look on the back side of your bulletin, you'll see we've got a place here to keep some notes. The first point is, consideration tries to understand the feelings and motivations of others. Have you ever been misunderstood? You've said something that someone took the wrong way. Have you misunderstood what someone said? What causes misunderstandings? Well, a simple thing is that just not listening. But sometimes it's because you or the other person doesn't want to hear. There are sometimes you're trying to do something good for somebody, but they misunderstand what you're doing. They make assumptions. Most importantly, they don't take time to find out your true motivations or your true feelings in the matter. They don't take time to find out the truth. Relationships have been destroyed because people believe a lie. Sometimes they want to believe it because of bitterness they feel towards you or towards the other person. Have you seen that? Someone believes a lie rather than believe the truth because that's what they want to believe, because they're just so bitter over something. I've seen that destroy neighbors. Philippians 2 again, verse 4. Be concerned about the interests of others. If we're concerned about others' interests, we're going to seek out the truth. We're going to want to know the truth. There will be no misunderstandings. If we take care to investigate the truth about others, we will understand their feelings and their motivations. Point number two. Consideration includes being patient with those who are inconsiderate. Children, you raise them, you teach them, you instruct them and discipline them. Yet sometimes they disappoint their parents. Sometimes they take longer than we hope to make progress. This takes patience. Now, when I say disappoint parents, that's what I mean. They don't make the progress as fast as we would like for them to make. How do you deal with that? Patience. If God's patience can extend for years and decades towards us, why can't our own patience towards others? Patience requires three things: discipline, endurance, and tolerance. Discipline, because you've got to stop yourself and think, I need to be patient in this situation. Discipline is, like Paul said, buffeting your body. Endurance. If you're able to endure things, you're going to have patience. You'll be able to wait. And tolerance. Not tolerance of the bad behavior or the sin that the person is dealing with, but tolerance towards their progress in dealing with it. So what I'm saying is discipline, endurance, and tolerance. Not tolerance of the sin, but tolerance of their progress in dealing with it. Back to Philippians chapter 2 again, and once again in verse 4. flip back to Philippians chapter 2 again. There you go. And verse 4, looking out for the interests of each other, not your own interests. Here again, if we are patient with people and patient with their progress towards dealing with an issue, that'll show that we are interested or we are concerned about their interests. Point number 3, consideration requires humility. Oh, does it require humility? Humility is awareness of one's own littleness, awareness of one's own weaknesses. We're all flawed and have problems. Romans chapter 3 teaches us that. No one can say, I can be the teacher or the leader because I'm complete. I certainly can't say it. I'm up here today preaching, teaching, not because I've got it all figured out, but because, gosh, I have experienced it. I've been there. And who better to teach than someone who's been experienced? It's been there, perhaps still even working on it. Where you've got to be careful is trying to pull the speck out of someone's eye when you have a log in your own eye. We're all at different points in our spiritual growth. We're all sinners. We need to remember that when we're dealing with others. And if you see yourself as God sees you, it helps you to deal with offenses. Back on Philippians chapter 2, if we can turn back there again, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. If we are humble, what we do will not be based on our own desires. It'll be based on the concerns for others. And as I said, we'll be able to deal with offenses if we see ourselves as God sees us. How often have someone mistreated you or been inconsiderate during the day? How often have you been offended by that? Sometimes things happen to us and we can easily brush it off. We're not really offended. Sometimes, though, we take great offense. What we do with that offense makes all the difference in the world. Sometimes we offend other people. Is that okay? It depends on the situation. Sometimes people need to be offended. As we were looking in Luke chapter 11, I think it was this morning, the lawyers took offense at Jesus' teachings. Also, in Matthew chapter 13. If I can get there to it right quick. Starting in verse 54. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. "Where did this man get his wisdom and these miraculous powers?" they asked. "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. Jesus offended people. Sometimes people need to be offended if it's a righteous offense. But oftentimes we're offended or we offend others and it's not righteous. It's probably because we're being self-centered. We're not being humble. Not only does humility help us prevent or help keep us from offending others, it helps us to deal with the offense. Number four, consideration intentionally avoids doing anything that would negatively affect the relationship. Here again, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, if you do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. If you hold to that principle, then whatever you do will not negatively affect the relationship. As we mentioned earlier, it's common to want to get back at somebody for doing something wrong to us. The greater they've hurt us, the more we want to hurt them. The greater they've offended us, the more we want to hurt them back. We want to get back at them in some way. Consider again, it's so easy to take examples from the highway and from driving, but consider the driver who's cut off or hindered in some way. And to get back, he passes the offender, gets in front of them, and slows down or puts on brakes. He thinks he's hurting the other guy in some way. In fact, all that's going to happen is going to hurt himself when he gets rear-ended, right? But you want to inflict pain upon the other person. Sometimes we do things that are very ugly. We do things that are inconsiderate to get back at those who are inconsiderate to us. When we go down that road, we sin and demonstrate our desire to destroy that relationship. I've seen situations where brothers and sisters were so vindictive that they actually plotted how to inflict pain on the other. One way to do it is through gossip. Simple gossip. That's one way we punish someone, by talking about them, even though they may not even be aware of it. They may not actually feel the pain, but we feel good because we've inflicted something on them, maybe without them knowing it. We've made them look bad by telling somebody else about them or what they've done. Being familiar with people, family and friends, leads us not to treat them as well as strangers. How many times have you heard somebody say, "You're better to them than you are to me"? How many times have you maybe said that? If we treat others better than we do our family, better than we do our close friends, even our spiritual brothers and sisters, then we need to work on that. We should be treating our family, our spiritual brothers and sisters, and our friends better than we treat anybody else. Now, not that we need to mistreat other people. I'm just saying, relatively speaking, better than anybody else. Point number five, last one. Consideration is being willing to sacrifice personal desires in order to strengthen the relationship. Personal desires and rights, even. That's difficult in this society. You know, this is the me generation. And I could preach an entire sermon just on on entitlements, deserving, me, self-centeredness. We've all been there. We've all seen it. You know, the person that just has to be in front of everybody else, the person that's number one. I saw a bumper sticker several years ago. Y'all may have seen it as well. It said, "I may be slow, but I'm in front of you." You know, that's the me generation. Get what I deserve. Entitlements. We've heard of entitlements. I'm entitled to this. I deserve. Oh, commercials. Commercials abound with, get the whatever it is that we're selling that you deserve. They make you believe you deserve. Do we deserve anything? What do we deserve? What are the wages of sin? That's what we deserve. Do we deserve the shiny new car, the nice new home? Nice to have, but entitlement. By golly, it's mine, and I'm going to get it no matter what the cost, no matter who I have to push out of the way to get there and get it. The most inconsiderate thing that we can ever do is to be so consumed with what we want that we forget or ignore there's anyone else around. Road rage occurs because people ignore the other drivers. Are you willing to sacrifice your desires, your rights, what you deserve in order to repair or maintain a relationship? We're all familiar with the story in Genesis chapter 25, how Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. He became the chief steward of Potiphar. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. He ran away. He was cast into prison. While there, he interpreted some other prisoners' dreams. Pharaoh had a dream. He was told about Joseph. Joseph went and interpreted Pharaoh's dream, said there's going to be a famine. Pharaoh made him steward of the land so that he could store up food ready for the famine. Eventually, Joseph's brothers, their father sent them down to find some grain because they heard there was grain in Egypt. They went down there and they met with Joseph. Of course, they didn't recognize him at first, but he knew who they were. Boy, if anybody had a reason to be vindictive, it was Joseph. His brothers wanted to kill him. One of them said, no, let's instead sell him. So they sold him as a slave. He'd been put in prison because of this. Wow, shouldn't Joseph have gotten back at his brothers? We'd think so, but no, he didn't. Instead, he rejoiced when he saw them. He told them, look, it's me, but don't be afraid. I'm not going to do anything because God set all this up. Joseph had the right perspective. Joseph saw what was happening. He saw God's plan in all this. So he wasn't bitter or vengeful. He was rejoicing. One more example. If we can go on to look at Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, the next few verses following the ones we were looking at earlier. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. He became like us. When he became like us, he understood our feelings and our motivations. He showed patience by being obedient to death on a cross. He humbled himself, gave up his godly form, and became just like one of us. He considered equality with God to not be something used to his advantage. So he did not do anything of a negative nature. He did everything he could to improve his relationship with us. And finally, he gave up his desires, his desire to be close to his Father, to come to earth for the good of a relationship with us. He sacrificed. He sacrificed his life on the cross. The Son of God chose to become a man, chose to humble himself, chose to die on a cross in order to repair his relationship with us. That's our example. Go thou and do likewise.